I think that's one of the trickiest things of parenthood, to allow a child to make a mistake. You stand by, you see the mistake coming, but you may advise them that this would not be smart. But the old-fashioned way was to insist that they don't do it. But that really sometimes just incites rebellion against the parent as the child gets older. Sometimes you have to let them make the mistake, feel the pain, and then be there for them and show them how to avoid it next time. And I've always thought that in Barbados, as a more developed society, as you said, with less children, maybe relatively more resources, that we have spoiled children to the extent that maybe that's what you're seeing with some of the other poorer Caribbean societies, where they have to fight harder because they weren't given it. If there are more people vying for something that is not automatic, they're going to have to push themselves harder. That kind of stress obviously can be overwhelming, but I think it can also be beneficial. When you look at our society and have a discussion on the elevation of mediocrity, where you don't have to be the best, you just have to be okay. And then you hear people say, well, you know, it's you pediatricians and kindergarten teachers who created this, because you give a medal for just showing up. You don't have to win the race. You don't have to be good. You just have to be there. And you take it as an entitlement. And sometimes I think people are deceived into thinking that what they are doing is actually good, when it's just enough. And depending on the parent's perspective, I think that's a really hard lesson to teach. And there is a lot of thought that the older Barbados, I'm saying two generations ago, where that fight and desire to get ahead was pressured onto children, that they had to do a part to get it. Perhaps now more people sit back and just expect it to happen and somebody else to take up the slack. And that's something I think as a society, as a small group or a family, and certainly as you grow as an individual, we have to find our own solutions to.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are raising a generation of entitled persons who think that whatever they want, somebody has to give it to them. And I'm not saying that this is not a blanket statement, but it is pervasive. It is pervasive. Many teachers are okay, let me take that back. There are several professionals who are saying that students don't seem to be motivated. Children don't seem to be motivated to achieve, that it is okay for them to just, as it were, turn up and do the bare minimum in order to get by. That striving for excellence has gone through the door. And we cannot blame COVID for everything. COVID is not responsible for everything that happens in a society, even during the COVID time. And perhaps, dare I say, that COVID-19 is showing up some of the deficiencies that might have existed before. And it's causing us who are responsible for these children to take another look at the things that we were doing and the way in which we were doing these things. I firmly believe that every successive generation should be better than the generation before it, because you would have learned from your mistakes, and you would have understood things, and your responsibility would have been to impart the knowledge that you gained to the ones who were in your charge. But unfortunately, it looks as though the lessons aren't being passed on. With advancement and modernization, we are seeing deprivation in morals and a fallout in society.
It's a very interesting construct, because as a parent achieves success, many times the things that made them successful, they work to make sure that their children don't have those battles to fight. And then they're surprised that the children turn out to be different to, you know, to they are. I don't know if you heard your own words when you said, we are raising an entitled generation. And then we turn around and blame the generation for being entitled when we had an input into how they were raised. So it's Correct. Not just looking at children, it's looking at ourselves, our parenting style, our family style, our socialization style, our educational system. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. And these days, some parents are under such stresses that they can't be part of a village. They're an individual with a job, struggling to just keep it all together. You know, the Sunday as a time for church and meetings, or the weekend as a no-stress time, can be filled with extra lessons, extracurricular activities, maybe, you know, trying to do something to make the finances balance. Life can be stressful for parents, and it's transmitted to children in ways that I think they are not automatically aware of. And sometimes, as our job as people in health, which is really not just about individual physical well-being, it's also, you know, emotional and social well-being, that these are essential parts of what we have to talk about to stay healthy.
One of the things that I'm learning myself, Dr. Cave, and it's a very difficult lesson to learn, especially for women. I'm not saying that men are not involved in the care and nurturing of their children, but instinctively, females tend to put the children first. So they make sure that the children are fed and watered and clothed and bathed, and they themselves are struggling emotionally with no output, no outlet for all the stresses under which they find themselves. We cannot be the best for our children. We cannot be the best fathers. We cannot be the best mothers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, doctors for the people in our lives if we are not taking care of ourselves. And this is the height of hypocrisy. But this is a lesson that I am learning. In order for me to take care of my children and to take care of my patients, I have got to take care of myself. And this is what we want to get over to parents. We don't deny that it is hard. We don't. Decreased income, lack of social support, uncertainty, and you still have mouths to feed. It is real out there. It is real out there. But you still have to make that effort to try to find yourself in a place where you can give, where you can help your children. You can't help your children if you're stressed out and ready to end your life. You really can't. So the plea is for those parents who find themselves under significant stress. There must be at least one person that you can vent honestly to. And then be able to go back and say, okay, you know what? Let me just put one foot in front of the other. You had mentioned when we were discussing what to talk about on the show, Dr. Cave, let's talk a little bit about emotional intelligence. It's been a concept that has been around for quite a bit of time, but it has become more popular now. Exactly what is emotional intelligence?
Well, let's start with intelligence, which is sort of learning from experiences and trying to put it in a way that you don't make the same mistake twice, either because you've made the mistake or because you've seen how that mistake can be made. And it's more obvious and evident to people as an academic kind of thing. When I was doing a little bit of research for this talk, having suggested intelligence, I figured, let me go back and refresh.
Yeah, and that would be intelligent.
Yes, and you know, in my mind, there are three kinds of intelligence. There's a sort of academic learning kind of intelligence, and then there is emotional, and then there is social. And then I look at the articles and they're listing 12 kinds of intelligence. There is intelligence for words, which apparently is quite different to numbers, which fits into more how we learn about as the brain works. There is muscle memory, which is a part of intelligence that athletes have. So in a way, training your body physically gives them a higher level of not just performance, but ability to interact with their environment and different things on a physical level to people who have not done that training. And I guess that really makes sense because it's what we do with the academics. And then when we try to now transpose it to emotional, it sort of comes back to exactly what we were talking about, that children start off by being inherently focused on themselves and selfish. The toy is theirs, and they have to learn how to share it. It's not something that comes naturally to every child. It seems to come easier to some who are gregarious and willing to share. Maybe the second and third children in the family, because they have learned along the way without it being a specific learning objective how to share. But maybe it's just a personality thing that some children have to learn, but they have to have the opportunity. And I think that's where it comes in. How do we give children the opportunity to share when they have to be 6 feet apart or in different Zoom rooms? But the feeling that you have when you have to let go of something has to be balanced with the satisfaction you get from sharing and being part of a group. And that's the kind of emotional intelligence that we're talking about, that you learn that the immediate gratification is not the end all and be all, because sometimes if you sacrifice some of this immediate pleasure for a longer term objective or goal, that it's even more satisfying. And that's something that you build on incrementally. And I think even before COVID, we may not have been doing such a great job with that kind of thing. But certainly now, as you point out, COVID has heightened a lot of the stressors that we had before. And we have to consciously find a way to deal with it.
I love that concept of gratification, delayed gratification. There are so many different aspects of health and social well-being that are underpinned by delayed gratification, and financial management as well. You go into a store as a child and you see something that you want. A parent can A parent might be in the position to buy that for you at this particular point in time. However, the suggestion would be if the child gets an allowance, maybe that child can save towards the item so they learn that you save for something that you want, and then we don't have this dependence on credit cards when you become adults. So we can teach things like this. So my question was going to be, can we teach emotional intelligence?
Yes, I think you can teach in the sense of making opportunities and having the facility to demonstrate examples of how this works. I guess it's similar to a child that just because they're in the best class with the best teacher and the brightest students, they don't all necessarily learn the lessons at the same rate. And emotionally, and I think even socially, because when you look around socially at, take for example, our COVID response, there are some very intelligent people who have succeeded in school making some very silly and questionable social choices when it comes to proximity to people or risking the health of their grandparents for a night out at a fete. You know, it's similar kinds of principles when you think about it. You weigh things, you balance them, you maybe postpone and delay, you become mindful of a bigger objective. You know, for a 20-something-year-old, is not about you're feeling lonely and you need to have a good time and you miss your friends. Certainly all those points are valid. It's if you are not vaccinated, those things carry a risk with possibly you remaining well, but spreading that to a more vulnerable person. Is that the conscious choice you want to make? You know, And you don't put that kind of weight on a 7-year-old because it could be way too heavy a burden. And that's one of the things that we have to be aware of to make sure that burden isn't inadvertently put onto the 7-year-old who starts to crumble over there's so much stuff on TV. There's so much media that's bombarding all the time to do something. You know, you have a conversation with children at 8, 9, 10 about global warming or rising sea levels. This is very real to them in their lives and their imagination. You know, I don't think very many adults lose sleep because of imagining the tide coming in and the houses being washed away. But there are children who are at the physical stage of development, mental stage, where they are very concrete in their thinking. And when they hear about rising sea levels and that in years to come, coastal cities are going to be under the water, this is what they are living with. And literally, they're children who are having anxiety and panic attacks, physical stress from being expected to cope with all these things. So, for example, when they are taught that recycling is the way to avoid or to help control a big picture like this, when they see people who are not doing what they think is the correct thing because that's what they've been taught, it puts a stress on them that is way out of keeping. Out of the what to the adult might be a relatively minor infraction of not recycling a PET bottle.
One of the things that is important, I believe, would be age-appropriate conversations. So you don't have a conversation like you gave the analogy there with the 20-something-year-old. You don't have that discussion with a 7-year-old, but the 7-year-old needs to be aware at his or her level of understanding and how much he or she can interpret and internalize and process, as opposed to giving them all the information in the world. And this is where we were talking earlier, Dr. Cave, about striking that balance between allowing them to experience but shielding them from things that are not necessary at that particular age and stage of development. We are beginning to take our approach into the end of our program, and for those of you who unfortunately joined us late, we have been having a very interesting discussion with Dr. Clay Cave, pediatrician, about some of the challenges with development that have arisen from COVID-19 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and perhaps this is a suggestion of things that we have not yet seen but could occur in our children. So, Dr. Cave, we're looking to you for some advice to parents. And we also want some advice for children, because children do listen to the program as well, I've discovered. So some advice to those children and advice to the parents so that we can be safely guided as much as we can be safely guided through this pandemic.
Well, I think the first thing to realize is that our country has done an exemplary job in the first half of this year. We know what works. We knew what worked last year, but we didn't exactly do it. You know, things in November and early December were pretty much like they are now. We thought things were under control. We needed to balance by opening up economically. People came home for Christmas. We were surprised by a new variant that spread faster than we anticipated, and then we had to go into lockdown in January. We know that the lockdown, the enforced social distancing, the enforced mask wearing, and enforcement is just a way to help people with their emotional and social intelligence. Rather than leaving it to the individual or group, there are laws and guidelines to help us do the right thing. We learned, we did it, and the numbers of people who are infected, as you said at the top of the program, are really at a very low state. But if we stop doing the things that got us here, it should not be a surprise that we go back to where we were before. You know, maybe that's the part of the intelligence that we should highlight. We did certain things that had a certain effect. If you stop doing those things, nobody should be surprised if we don't continue to have the same effect. But we have to open up the country for economic reasons. There is a certain risk involved in that. But we know that that risk can be mitigated if we continue to social distance, wear masks, and most importantly, vaccinate. Those are some of the things that we can control, that we have, masters of our destiny. It's not that we are totally at the mercy of outside forces. We can control what happens here. If our population is vaccinated, if we say in our country, these are the protocols for testing to come in, if we say in our country, it's important still to wear a mask, regardless of what you can do in, you know, another country, perhaps where you come from. These are tried things which we know can work and keep us safe. So I think going forward, that's what we have to be intellectually aware of, to keep our guard up while we fight those emotional and social urges. Let's just deny it all, ignore it all, pretend to go back to where we were before and hope, things don't reoccur. That would not be a very intelligent approach, because that's what we did before and we know what happened. This time around, I think we have tools, we have vaccination, which we didn't have before. We know how to social distance. We know how to wear masks and when we should. We just now have to apply them and be vigilant.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cave. I want to think about those children who have to do examinations. We have children who are going to be doing the Barbados Secondary School's entrance exam. We have children doing CSEC, Caribbean Secondary School's examinations, and CAPE as well. So what advice do you have for those children? What sorts of tips can you give, can you share with them about getting through this? Doing exams, full stop, is challenging. Let's throw COVID into the mix now. And it's even more challenging for the children. So what advice can you give to those children?
Well, I think you start off by saying, which is something that is self-evident, but you have to say to younger people, you are not the only person in this boat or the only person who has ever been in a similar boat. So yes, while you take yourself very seriously, as you should, there must be a way around it, because everybody else is facing similar things. What you can control is to do your best. There will be other ways to get where you want to go, if you really want to go there, if this particular road has obstacles on it. But in addition to that, I think it's very important for people around to really believe that and act on it too. It cannot be that the school system, the teachers, and even the parents are totally focused on the number of marks on an exam. Education is not just about acing a test, whether it be the 11 plus or CXCs or CAPE or whatever. Education in the broader sense, as we've tried to talk about in this program, is about intelligence, which is a balance indeed of that academic learning, but it's also about being an individual who is a happy person and who is also a responsible member of our society.
I agree 100%. And I remember when I was doing A-levels, it was my dream, because I didn't want my parents to bear the financial burden of sending me to university. And it was my dream to get a Barbados scholarship. I didn't get a Barbados scholarship. It was this close to getting it, but just one subject, and I didn't. But like you said, there are many roads to get to where you want to get to or to where you wish to reach. And I see myself as an example. So I didn't get a Barbados scholarship, but this was my goal. And therefore I worked and I made sure that I continued to study. And this is where I am today. So if I can get through, I mean, it takes a lot of hard work. Whatever goal you want to achieve, if you want to be a cosmetologist, you have to study. You have to be the best. You have to put in the effort. If you want to be a vet, if you want to be a banker, it doesn't matter. If you want to stay at home and raise your children, that takes education and intelligence as well to manage a household. So it doesn't matter what vocation you want to find yourself in. What Dr. Cave said was so important. The only thing that you are responsible for is doing your best. I think that's the advice that I can give as somebody who has gone through the educational system and has watched my own children develop. All we require of you is your best. And when you've done your best, nothing can better your best other than your best. But if you haven't done your best, then you don't have anybody else to blame besides yourself. So we don't want persons to say, oh, well, you know, we had COVID. And so, yes, there have been challenges, but still find something deep within yourself to keep pushing and keep trying. I think for me, this has been one of the most emotional shows because you want your children to achieve. You want to see good things in society. And there are challenges. Yes, there are challenges, but we can make it through. Like Dr. Cave just said, we see what works. If we do what works, it should continue to work. We control what we can control. So towards the end of the program, Dr. Cave, I want to say a very big thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You are still running a clinic. You are doing your role as the Director of Medical Services at our National Hospital. And that takes human effort in order to manage that. And we know that you don't do it alone. So we want to say thank you to all those men and women who are involved in the management of our healthcare system from the top all the way down to the bottom. We cannot get through without the persons who are in housekeeping. We cannot get through without the persons who are in accounts. We can't get through without the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, so everybody that's involved. And we can't get through without the members in society as well doing their part, being responsible. So I give you the opportunity for any closing remarks, and then we'll hand over to Gredston over there all by himself in the studio.
Thank you very much, Dr. Boyce. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your audience. I think we grow not just individually, but together. And it's through communication and sharing of knowledge like this that we can overcome whatever obstacles that we may face. Barbados has a long and proud history of always batting above our weight, having more influence on the international stage, having a very high standard of life within our community, and always striving for excellence, as has been shown by many of our citizens and heroes. It's something that we have done before, and we can certainly continue to do it as long as we put our minds to it. So thank you very much for this invitation. It's been a pleasure being with you tonight.
Yes, you are most welcome, Dr. Cave, and it always is a pleasure to sit and learn from you. And as I said before, continued success. So we are at 7 minutes past the hour of 7 in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean. And this time, I was not the one to go over. I did not steal any time from Cheryl. So I want to say thank you to Cheryl for being so patient, but this time it is not my
It was sanctioned. It was sanctioned this time. It was sanctioned this time. So you are in good stead. You don't have to worry about anything at all. Go ahead. Right. I'm sorry for interrupting.
I'm not worried. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried in the least. I'm not worried in the least. We have some very exciting topics coming up. We have diabetes coming up again. We also have sexually transmitted infections coming up. We have a surprise show for you later on. I think that will be towards the end of July or maybe early August. That's a surprise show. And we also have, as usual, I cannot remember the other topics that are coming, but I'm not ashamed to say that I cannot remember. That's why we have pen and paper and laptops and all other devices, so that it is there already stored.
Well, like this happens almost every week. I don't know why this is a news item.
It does. What are you trying to do? Okay, so fine. Most weeks I do not remember what is coming up for the following week. But don't worry about that. I can guarantee you that it will be informative.
Yes,
it will. I can guarantee you that it will be sound. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you that you will want to come back the following Sunday and hear us again on the Better Health Radio Show. And with that, I bid our listeners good night.
Thank you, Connie Doc. And I totally agree with everything you said right there. Thank you, Dr. Cave. And thank you, Dr. Renee Boyce. They came around, spent their time with you to inform you. And as the good doctor says, God's willing, next week, Sunday, she'll be back around again for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. And I'm quite sure Dr. Clyde Cave will come around again, as he usually does, to keep us informed. So thank you all, and have a good week, everybody.